Hello and welcome into another episode of Locked on Wolves. Today on the show, a little bit of everything. We're going to talk a little NBA mock draft, a new mock draft that's out that has the Wolves taking a completely new prospect from anyone we've talked about on the show. Plus, some more D'Lo trade destination talk, a couple more places that could be potential trade fits for D'Angelo Russell. And then finally, big shot Bob himself, Robert Horry, was on Locked on today. We'll play that interview here at the end of the show as he talks about the NBA Finals. It's all upcoming. Welcome in. You are Locked on Wolves.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beek and I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Today's episode is brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. Happy Thursday, everybody. Today on the show, plenty to talk about, some D'Lo, some draft, and then finally Robert Horry talking NBA Finals. First of all, thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen every single day. Locked On Wolves is free and available everywhere, including YouTube, as well as Apple, Google, Spotify, Odyssey, anywhere you listen to podcasts, you can find this show. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and at BBeacon. And that's with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. All right, let's start the conversation today with some more D'Angelo Russell talk. I spent a lot of time talking about D'Lo. I think it is the most fascinating thing about this offseason is A, are the Wolves trying to trade D'Lo? I believe the answer is yes. B, can they trade him? And who's actually a suitor for D'Lo? And I'm not sure about that. And then thirdly, or C, I guess, will the Wolves have to give up an asset with D'Lo, or how much money, future dollars, will they have to take back? I talked about this pretty extensively, I think Monday and Wednesday of this week, or I guess it would have been Tuesday and Wednesday of this week. And going back to last week, did a whole show on this, is how much money beyond this year would come back? Because like the Knicks, for instance, the New York Knicks are an example of a team that could match the salary, a couple of useful players, but it's all money that wouldn't just be this year. It'd be a second year. It'd be two seasons, which then you lose the cap space you'd have next summer. If you just keep D'Lo and let him walk, you've got max contract cap space next summer. Plus you have the Patrick Beverley expiring. You could let Malik Beasley go with the player option. So you maintain max cap space by keeping D'Lo and letting him walk. If you trade him to a team like the Knicks, you're only going to get back guys with additional years of salary. I don't think Tim Connelly and the Timberwolves front office want to send out 1 year of D'Lo for 2 years of like Nerlens Noel. And yes, Alec Burks is a good player, but do you want 2 years of Burks and 2 years of Noel and 2 years of Derrick Rose and kind of piecemeal this thing together with a platter of players that is not entirely enticing? There are other options out there. I talked about the LA Clippers as a potential trade destination because I think that match is great. I think if you can get back Robert Covington and Luke Kennard, those are salaries you'd want to have for the next couple of years. And actually, I mean, if you could figure out the Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, and D'Lo going from being third fiddle in Minnesota to third fiddle in LA, if you could talk the Clippers into that, great. I'm not sure the Clippers would like that. I don't think that's the best fit for D'Lo in that regard either. But you never know. I mean, they might just want a third star. That might be appealing to them. Another team that popped up on my radar as a potential destination. Well, first I should say I saw a rumor regarding Kyrie Irving. I don't actually remember where I saw it, but it was a legitimate, which this isn't helpful, I know, but it was a legitimate source report about Kyrie Irving being a potential, you know, trade target or Minnesota being a place that you could trade Kyrie Irving with D'Angelo Russell going to Brooklyn. It wasn't a real rumor that those discussions are happening. It was a proposal of like, hey, this could happen. Kyrie's got the player option. They're both on max deals. I don't know that the Kyrie Irving experience is something that you really want to insert into Minnesota. He's also a higher usage player than D'Lo. And while he maybe fits, certainly he's played with many superstars before. There are some things about Kyrie that would fit better than D'Lo, you know, getting to the basket, getting to the free throw line, some of those things. But I mean, he's even a worse defender than D'Lo and he's a higher usage player than D'Lo. So that doesn't make a lot of sense either. So the team I want to spend most of the time talking about today as a potential possibility would be the Washington Wizards. The Wizards are a team that, I mean, they need a guard, right? They've got a year left with Bradley Beal. They've got not much else in terms of their backcourt. I mean, you've got a year left of Ish Smith, who of course is not the long-term answer there. But otherwise, you've got some nice front court pieces. Of course, Kristaps Porzingis is still there. They've got some free agents. They've got cap space. Could that be a possibility? Maybe. I think Washington probably, with 1 year left to Bradley Beal, they may look elsewhere. But this is a potential match if you look at some of the contracts the Wolves could take back. Washington could send Minnesota. Kyle Kuzma is a player we know Gerson Rosas was interested in for a long time. And there were rumors about Kuzma going back a couple of years as a potential Timberwolves trade target multiple different times over the past couple of years. Kuzma would be a fit next to Karl-Anthony Towns. Again, he's not the long-term starting answer necessarily. Jaden McDaniels and Jared Vanderbilt, some combination of those two at the four with, I guess, McDaniels playing more of the three, really are the answer. But Kuzma would provide some similar... He's in some ways a fully developed version of what we hope Jaden McDaniels, maybe not floor, because Kuzma's a really good player, but there's a lot of similarities in their games. You know, he provides the length, the outside shooting, the defensive switchability. I think McDaniels is better on the perimeter. Probably he's a little bit, his build is a little bit more suitable for moving laterally, I think, than Kuzma on the perimeter. But Kuzma is a solid defender, a solid shooter, can do a lot of great things. He's got 2 years left on his deal. So you'd be taking back that second year, but that's not a bad contract. It's like $13 million or something each year, roughly. So you take him back. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope would be a great fit for Minnesota. You take KCP back. Now, if you're Washington, now you're essentially trading two starters for one, so you better believe that D'Lo is your second star next to Bradley Beal. It can fit in next to Kristaps Porzingis. I actually think that match works well. If you're looking to be better next year and you're looking to sell some more tickets and get some more buzz, putting D'Lo next to Bradley Beal and Kristaps Porzingis actually makes a lot of sense. He's obviously a bigger name than Kuzma or KCP, and Russell could be your second fiddle in terms of offensive usage. He could play pick and roll with Kristaps Porzingis really well. Now, again, he's a free agent next year. Are you going to give him the max extension? I don't know. I mean, I know I wouldn't if I were Washington. But again, D'Lo's a good player. And Washington's roster is actually not a bad fit. And the Wolves could actually take back Kuzma and KCP, and that would work from a salary perspective. The Wizards would take on a little bit of money, but they're able to. They have some space to do that. And that trade should work from a salary perspective, even though Kuzma and KCP are what, like $27 million and D'Lo is like $31 million. You can make that work. And perhaps the Wolves send a second rounder or something this year too to make that work. But D'Lo and a pick for Kuzma and KCP, that helps the Wolves in terms of roster balance. It keeps some flexibility for next year because I should mention Caldwell Pope's a free agent after this season, and you've only got 2 years left of Kuzma. So you still have Caldwell Pope. You've got Beverly. That's like $27 million right there coming off the books next summer. You could decline the player option on Malik Beasley. You got some smaller contracts coming off the books next summer. That, to me, is a really attractive trade for Minnesota. And I think Washington's more likely to jump at that than, say, the Clippers or, I mean, the Knicks, I think, would be happy to trade a bunch of their bad middling contracts for D'Angelo Russell. But I don't think that's a match from the Wolves' perspective. The Clippers are a good match from Minnesota's perspective, but probably not for the Clippers. I think this is actually not bad all the way around. I think Washington and Minnesota would both be happy with this sort of a deal. And that's just me putting that together, that could be an interesting destination. There's no like real source rumor about the Wizards or anything like that. I just think it's a real possibility and is fascinating. I should also mention that on Darren Wolfson's Scoop podcast, he had on Bobby Marks from ESPN, of course, the former front office exec with New Jersey / Brooklyn. And he talked about he thought Minnesota could make a D'Lo trade without attaching a pick as long as they're willing to take future money back. And this is an example of that, right? Half of the money that's coming back would be on the books beyond this year in Kyle Kuzma. So if that's really true, and I think it is, I said this yesterday, I think on Wednesday's show, I don't think the Wolves should have to trade a pick with D'Lo. He's a good player. There's no question about that. It's just you have to find the right trade partner. Not every team is going to be interested in D'Angelo Russell. He is a very unique player. He fits a very specific type of style of play and team. All that to say, I don't think they should have to attach a pick to him to move off of his contract. Okay, next, let's talk a little mock draft. There's a new mock draft out over at Bleacher Report with a new name, listed for the Timberwolves. So I want to talk through that here next. And then we'll play the Robert Horry interview with Locked On Today at the end of the show, which is fascinating. Of course, Big Shot Bob and his 7 NBA rings. We're going to do that next. First, let's talk about our title sponsors from today's show. And that is, of course, Rock Auto. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have a computer with access to rockauto.com both at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why choose to spend 30, 50, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? They're a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years, and Rock Auto's prices are reliably low for every single customer. They have everything you could possibly need. Brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Go explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solution to your auto part needs. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Thanks again for making Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. Now, I have an important favor to ask. We put together a survey at Locked On so we can learn more about listeners like you and make sure your favorite Locked On podcast get even better. This is your opportunity to tell us what you like and don't like about Locked On Podcasts. Go to lockedonpodcast.com/survey right now to get started. It won't take very long, and everyone that completes the survey can qualify for a chance to win one of 10 $100 Ticketmaster gift cards. To take our audience survey, go to lockedonpodcast.com/survey. Thank you in advance for your help. All right, let's talk a little bit of draft. Talked previously about some mock drafts that are out there. ESPN's mock draft had the Wolves taking, I think it was Jovic. Yeah, Nikola Jovic. The Ringer draft had the Wolves taking Blake Wesley from Notre Dame. There was another mock out there that had the Wolves taking, I think it was Ty Washington, if I'm not mistaken. A lot of guards and wings, obviously. And again, I think you're probably looking best player available at 19, and we'll see what Tim Connolly's draft philosophy is. I mean, I think he's always been kind of a swing for the fences type guy, which is what you want out of somebody, drafting wherever. I mean, and wherever he's drafted, right? Because he had like Jamal Murray went 7th with Denver. Obviously, Jokic was a 2nd-round pick. Michael Porter Jr. was a mid-first-round pick with lottery talent, early high lottery talent. And those are all examples. Bones Highland is another guy who maybe fell further than people expected, and they took him in the 20s, mid-20s, late 20s, I think even, and was very good this year for Denver. So there's a new mock draft out over at Bleacher Report. This is, I believe it's Jonathan Wasserman. Let me just make sure that I have that right. Jonathan Wasserman at Bleacher Report does a good job with his mocks. And he did his, he didn't write up every team. He wrote the pick, but he didn't necessarily have a write-up for each team. He has the Wolves taking Marjan Beauchamp from the G League Ignite at number 19. So Beauchamp is an interesting prospect. There's some similarities in my mind to a much more offensively gifted Josh Okogie. Now, we know, and I say offensively gifted, I'll explain what I mean in a second. Josh Okogie, when he was drafted, obviously we know what Josh Okogie is now, right? He's a no offense, all defense player. He could be a fringe rotation guy in a good team because he's that good defensively, but the offense never developed. He's very good in transition, but you don't want him putting the ball on the floor in the half court. You don't want him spotting up in the half court. He's a pretty good cutter if you can get him into the right situations, but teams don't guard him on the perimeter. So the Wolves ended up, when he was in the rotation under Chris Finch, playing him as if he was a 4, and it was mostly effective. Like, it worked. You could play with the Okogie on the floor. And there were some games where, it made more sense than others depending on matchups. But when he came into the league, there was some hope that Okogie could develop an offensive game. We knew he'd be good defensively, but he showed enough flashes at Georgia Tech, I think, that he, there was some belief he could develop a jumper. That never really happened. He was decent from the corners for about a year and a half there early in his career in terms of three-point shooting for the corners, but that was really kind of it. I think Beauchamp reminds me a little bit of a slightly bigger version of Okogie. He's a little over 6'5". He's got a massive wingspan, like a 7'1" wingspan. He's a very intelligent player, as Josh Okogie is. He's a really good on-ball defender. He plays hard. He's a good rebounder for his size and position, which are all things that you could say about Josh Okogie. He's also not a good shooter, but he's much better in the half court in terms of putting the ball on the floor. You could see him, if you watch any of his G League highlights, even the explosiveness. Well, obviously highlights are going to show the explosiveness, but if you watch him in the half court, he's intelligent. He knows what he's doing. He can get to the rim pretty much at will in the G League. And he only had played community college ball. So he never played D1. He played community college ball before going to the G League. I think in my mind, if the Wolves were to take him at 19, which is a little bit higher than we've seen him mocked in a lot of other places, it is similar to a Josh Okogie pick in that the floor here is a really good defender, but there's a swing for the fences element, which is maybe not the right way to put it, because I don't know that anyone would argue he's got an all-star ceiling, but I mean, maybe he does, right? If he figures out the shot, he's got the size, the athleticism, the basketball IQ, he plays hard, all that stuff. If he can figure out the jumper, that's really the biggest thing for him. So I actually like him at 19. It's, again, higher than you'll see him in some other mock drafts, but there's a floor here for a team that already fancies themselves a 4-6 seed in the Western Conference, even with an improving Clippers team, a likely improving Lakers and Pelicans and all the other teams that are going to get healthy and get better this year. And like, you know, the Spurs aren't going anywhere. There are teams that are still improving in the West, and there's teams that aren't going anywhere. But I think you could take a guy like this who's got a solid floor, but we also know that there's some sort of a ceiling there. Could he become Anthony Edwards' sidekick on the wing for Minnesota? I mean, Jaden McDaniels is probably your three of the future, but can you see Ant playing alongside, a Marjon Beauchamp? And I think the answer is yes. I think there's enough there in terms of the athleticism, the offensive ability, and more importantly, the ability on defense. I think he's an intriguing selection at 19. And who knows, maybe Minnesota can move down and pick up a future pick and still draft him. Maybe that's too early. I don't know. But I think that the idea of drafting somebody who's got a floor of solid defender is a really interesting thought. And again, with offensive upside. So that's, and again, we're seeing a lot of these wings. In this part of the draft, we're going to see a ton of wings that are mocked, some guards that are mocked to Minnesota. There aren't as many bigs that are likely to go in this range in the draft. And not that the Wolves need like a center, but they need somebody eventually who can play some additional four in addition to Jared Vanderbilt. Chris Finch doesn't like playing McDaniels at the four too often. So that's a possibility too. But again, we're mostly looking at wings and guards here in the number 19 range in the draft. So we're going to keep breaking that down. We're actually starting the Lockdown NBA mock draft right now. We're going through the process of everybody selecting, and actually there's been some trades. So that's upcoming soon, who I'm going to take for the Wolves at 19 in that draft. And of course, we'll have that here for you on the show. All right, last segment today, we're going to get to Robert Horry. Big Shot Bob was on the Lockdown Today program. We're going to play that interview, and who better to talk about the NBA Finals with than Big Shot Bob himself, Robert Horry. So we're going to do that here next. First, let's talk about our friends over at BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your betting stats and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, news, and odds, including the NBA Finals matchup, the NHL Hockey Conference Finals, MLB, and of course, all the latest fighting news from MMA and UFC, all the way down to boxing. Of course, in the finals, the Warriors are big betting favorites. So go check out the exact line. And if you're interested in getting involved in that action at BetOnline, BetOnline.net is the place to go. They're your continued source for all your sport wagering information, including live betting, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, let's go ahead and get into the Robert Horry interview with Peter Bukowski of Lockdown Today. He's going to talk NBA Finals here in just a moment, previewing the finals, which of course start this evening, Thursday night. So we're going to get to that interview here now. Enjoy.
The Golden State Warriors are minus 150, the favorites in the NBA Finals against the Boston Celtics. Joining me now, Robert Horry, seven-time NBA champion, is here courtesy of Bet Online. Check out Bet Online for all the up-to-date lines on the NBA Finals, Finals MVP, Finals props, and each and every game line. This is great to have you here. Why do you think, because the line has moved a little bit in the Celtics' favor, why do you think there are people that like the Celtics matchup against the Warriors?
Because the smart people know defense wins championships. And if you look at the Celtics team, they got two players on that team that made the all-defensive team. You know, Smart, of course, defensive player of the year. But Robert Williams is one of those guys that is an eraser. He can block shots. He can, he can erase a lot of mistakes that you make on the perimeter. And you think about it, you got Brown, Tatum, and Smart, who can get up on people defensively and funnel them to that guy. Next thing you know, he's getting blocked. And if you look at the way, you know, Horford has been playing, he's turning back the hands of time. He's blocking shots again. So if you, overall, I think that the Celtics is a better defensive team than the Warriors, because even though you have Draymond Green, Klay Thompson is not the Klay Thompson of old, who can do the things he used to be able to do. And so I just think that's a big key for them, for the Celtics, that is.
How do you see Defensive Player of the Year Marcus Smart matching up with Steph Curry? Is that going to be something where you see that Marcus is going to pick him up 94 feet? Like, how do you think Smart is going to approach that assignment if he does get that assignment, which we assume he's going to?
But you know what? I don't think it's going to be a one-man job. If you look at the Celtics, they 1, 2, 3 are all athletic guys. And you go to the 2, Jaylen, and go to the Tatum, they get taller. You know, it's like, like the bars on a cell phone. And I think even though they like to do a lot of switching, I think they're perfect for this matchup. It's a perfect matchup for the Celtics and when they got the guard in, because you know Klay is going to be constantly moving. And so, not the same as a Jimmy Butler or Tyler Hero, but I think this, what they just did against the Heat, is like a prelude to what they're going to do. And so I think they're going to be fine defensively switching and getting ready for Steph.
It sounds like you like the Celtics in this one.
You know, all my Laker fans are going to be mad at me because they said you cannot wear anything green. You can never root for the Celtics. I'm not rooting for the Celtics. You know, I would like to see my former teammate, Ime Udoka, win his first championship. You know, so I would like for that to happen. But, you know, I just think being the basketball mindset, I just think that there's a good chance the Celtics could win this thing.
All right, so we have some odds here. Celtics in 6 is plus 375. Celtics in 7 is plus 650. If people are going to bet on it, what is your prediction? If you like Boston, 6, 7?
Hey, you know what? If you try to make some money, right? that's why you gamble. And so I will go with the Celtics in 7 because I think the Celtics have been a battle-tested team on the road. They've won a lot of games on the road. They just won the Eastern Conference on the road. And so I think they're ready. Not saying everybody said, well, the Heat is a different monster than, the Warriors and blah, blah, blah. But I still think it all boils down to having confidence and playing well on the road and believing that you can win on the road.
There's also been this discussion now, especially among Celtics fans, about what this Celtics team has had to face, particularly Jason Tatum has had to face. Kevin Durant in the first round, Giannis Antetokounmpo in the second round, Jimmy Butler on a heater, no pun intended, for Miami. And now Steph Curry, you're talking about at least 3 Pantheon guys who are all time great players. Who do you think has the most on the line legacy wise in this series? For whom would that one title, you won 7, who would that one title mean the most for?
You know, I'm going to go off script a little bit and I'm going to stop people from thinking this is going to be the greatest run ever by the Celtics. That's not true. Because you got Hornacek, Karl Malone, you got Kevin Johnson, Charles Barkley, you got Dennis Rodman, MVP, David Robinson, then you got Shaquille and Penny. Now, that is the greatest run back in 95. So when people say this might be the greatest run, stop it. You know what I'm saying? Because all these teams was 50-plus win teams. And so I just think if you look at this game and you have to pick an MVP, you know, of course, it's going to be Tatum. But this run that the Celtics are on is incredible. You know, don't get me wrong, because they've been able to win on the road, which is key, because you have to win on the road in order to win championship. That's unless you have home court advantage and you protect your home court. But I just think overall, when you look at the makeup of these two teams, they're similar. You know, Golden State Warriors, they were the Celtics 6, 7 years ago when they first entered the playoffs. And nobody thought they could win a championship. Next thing you know, they win a championship. Then the following season, they win all these games and don't win a championship. And then they get KD and they win 2 more. But I think if you look at the Celtics, there are so many similarities with these teams that people are always going to say, oh, let's go with the veteran leadership. Let's go with the fan favorite and Steph. You know, this thing about it, because everybody wants Steph to win, because we know he got robbed one time with the MVP in the finals. And then he took a step back and let KD come in to his team, which is Steph's team, and take two MVPs. And so I do think Steph has a lot to prove, and his legacy is on the line when it comes to this, because, you know, all the chatter now is about him not having a MVP in the finals, which we all know he was robbed of one. So let's be real about that.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at these MVP odds as you're talking about the MVP, and we expect Curry and Tatum right at the top in terms of the odds. You're not getting really good value there. I'm looking at Jaylen Brown, 10-1. Yeah. I'm looking at Draymond, 22-1. Like, if he really turned it up defensively, people forget in that game 7 against the Cavs, he had a triple-double in that game. He was the best Warrior on the floor in that game. I'm looking at Marcus Smart at 40-1. It seems like you can get some good value. And we've seen, including in this Warriors run, that it's not always the stars who win these finals MVPs.
It's true. You know, for me, if I wanted to take the odds, I'm going to eliminate the top three automatically. And I don't think Clay is, you know, Clay is a game 5, game 6 type of player. But me, I would go with Andrew Wiggins. If I had to pick someone with the odds, I would go with Andrew Wiggins, who is 20-1. And think about it. He has started to come into his own.
Yeah.
He, after that dunk on Luka, all of a sudden this dude is smiling big. He's enthusiastic. He's playing hard, and he's an all-star. You know, I think some people forget he was an all-star. I think this is a good way, in the biggest stage, to show everybody that the all-star committee didn't make a mistake. So if I had to take all the, because I don't think Draymond Green, he doesn't shoot enough, and he's gonna have to guard too many people, so he's gonna be all over the board. That, so if you look down that list of people and you want to say, oh, odds maker, for me, I would take Andrew Wiggins 20-1.
That is, I mean, that's bold. I love it. I think you're right that he seems to be a different player just in the Warriors, just in Golden State. He seems to have been unlocked a little bit, whether that's Steve Kerr, whether that's just him feeling more comfortable. We're talking about legacy, and you have been on some teams that have gone on these multi-year runs that have been what we might consider dynastic, right? There have been some discussions here. If the Warriors win one, that because it's the Clay, Steph, Draymond core with Steve Kerr, that this has to be considered part of the Warriors run and that we have to call them a dynastic team. Where do you fall on that discussion? If they win one, are they a dynasty?
You know what? It's I will put them in that category as a dynasty. You know, because they was riddled with injuries,
right?
2 years, Clay was out, then Steph went out. You know, you say, okay, we'll give them a Phil Jackson asterisk by those 2 years. But if they were to get back to the mountaintop and win this year, I'll put them, you know, you got one more step to be a dynasty. And then if they go to the finals again, then I would give them a dynasty. But, you know, think about this. They gave us a dynasty in the Lakers. We won 3 in a row. And next thing you know, they dismantle a team. They go back and lose. It's considered a dynasty. So, you know, to me, there's only been, you know, 3 dynasties in this: Bulls, the Celtics, and the Lakers, because they're in a situation where they went 6+ championships. You know, that's what you look at. But in this day, in this era, you can give them a dynasty.
I would consider the Spurs, the Tim Duncan, Greg Popovich Spurs in that mix, but they never won back-to-back titles. And so it depends on how you want to qualify it. Sustained success, not always enough. I think if you're a Boston fan, you're going, why can't we have that sustained run? We've got these 2 young superstars, Marcus Smart, defensive player of the year, who's coming into his own a little bit defensively. It seems like they've unlocked some things with him as their pure point guard in initiating offense, because he doesn't have to create for everyone. They've got Tatum and Brown who can create for themselves. I mean, what do you think the chances are that they could be not the next dynasty, but the next team that you have to deal with in the Eastern Conference? Like, okay, they're going to be there every year until further notice.
You know, I think you look down that line and you says, okay, Tatum, first team, max. Brown, max. Smart, max. These are super max contracts these guys potentially can get. Right. So now we're, you know, since I cover the Lakers got $40 million guys, $340 million guys. They can't get nobody else on the team unless they do some hell of a drafting, you know, and they get those guys that's going to be there. But it boils down to payday, man. If you're going to stick around and get paid, or you're going to have that one falter and say, oh, you know, we didn't win a championship, we need to make a move because, you know, they exploited us in this area. We need to get someone in, and they trade one of those guys. You know, people do dumb things like that. Well, GMs, I should say. So I think they have the potential to make a long run they're just going to have to stick together and do what a Tim Duncan would do and say, you know what, I'm going to take less money. So you can sign a Tony Parker, you sign a Manu Ginobili. But are these guys now, you know, selfless enough where they say, hey, you know what, I don't want to make $40 million. I make $30 million. You know, I don't think so. I think every guy now is trying to get their bag so they can say, you know what, at one point in my career, I was making $50, $40 million, whatever it may be. So I don't – that's going to be the key, though. It boils down to money, if they can keep that team together.
All right, not a finals question, but I can't talk to Big Shot Bob and not ask you this question. Which of your big shots is your favorite?
You know, I grew up a Lakers fan, a huge Magic Johnson fan. And one of my biggest thrills before I even made it to the NBA, I got to play one-on-one with Magic when I was being scouted by the Lakers coming out of college, coming out of University of Alabama. So the shot I made against the Sacramento Kings in 2001 to win that game, it's probably my favorite. And don't get me wrong, I love what I did in Houston. I love what I did in San Antonio. But everything I did in San Antonio was on the road, game five on the road. But this was at home in Staples Center. And the ego comes into play where you want to hear that crowd chant your name, man. And you run off the court and the crowd still chanting your name. You're in the locker room, you can still hear them chanting your name. So I think that shot, it takes over all the other shots just for the ego. You know, we all as athletes got some type of ego. And I think for me, that just takes over because I had the Laker fans chanting my name. They wasn't chanting Shaq. They wasn't chanting Kobe. They were chanting Ori. So that's a big plus for me.
All right, that's all we have for you today here on the show. Thanks again for listening to Locked On Wolves, of course, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can find this show anywhere you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, Spotify, Odyssey, and of course, YouTube. You can also follow on Twitter at LockedOnTWolves and at BBeacon with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. Remember, the Locked On Wolves podcast is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. The network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. A reminder, you can listen to the Locked On NBA Big Board with host Raphael Barlow from NBA Draft Junkies, author of the NBA Big Board newsletter. He's joined by Richard Stamen, Sam Ferris, and Leif Thulin, giving fans an in-depth look into the NBA draft, mock drafts, player rankings, and of course, big boards. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. As long as you're making us your first listen, go ahead and make the Locked On NBA Big Board show your second listen each and every day. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.